Today is June 15th, the day of the Recovery Plan Review Committee meeting. The time is now 2:33.
Okay, it's now 2:33. We'll call the Recovery Committee meeting to order. Repeat the Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moment of silence. Thank you. Okay. Quorum has been established. Commissioner Hall and Commissioner Richardson are here, committee members. The executive director is present along with his staff. We'll catch up with the names. Approval of the meeting agenda. Anything that needs to be added? Anything changed around?
Not that I can tell.
Okay. We're all in agreement that the approval of the agenda as written. Approval of the minutes of the recovery plan. Meeting held on May 15th. The minutes were distributed by email. Has anybody had a chance to review? Did you get a chance to commission?
Looks very good to me.
Okay. Okay, there being no dissension, the minutes of the meeting of May 15th have been approved. Old business? Director?
Code plan update. All right. With phase one, we started having the closing calls with all of the partners, the investors, the lenders, the legal teams, all of that. And we started those this week. And because we are now looking at a November closing. And because I guess a couple of things. One, trying to give HUD time to do things because we have a situation that Jacksonville, the director there, he's just going to make things as difficult as possible.
Okay.
And but he did, after close to the more than 2 months, give us the approval of the project vouchers.
Oh,
and they did that writing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so I shared that with the developer. And so the next stage is to do the subsurface land review. And I have to put that together and then send that to DC for review and approval.
Okay.
And once they do that, we would then and it's what's called an AHAP, Agreement for Housing Assistance Payments. And that'll be one of the closing documents. And then once construction starts and you're ready to lease up, that's when you do the HAP, the Section 8 payments.
Okay.
And so, and that's the next step with that. And I'm not sure who it was that sent them, but they had a guy come today, want to do an environmental assessment, you know, so no major concern because he was from Virginia and he was asking, y'all got any old like heating tanks and stuff like that? That do be in Florida. So, you know, they need any of that. And then with the demo dispo, still cautious optimistic that we should get that approval sometime late this month, early next month. And then once that occurs, then we'll put pressure back on Jacksonville to approve the relocation plan.
Mm-hmm.
Where we can then hopefully they'll approve the vouchers and then allow us to start moving the people out with assistance. Because if anyone, if others can move now,
mm-hmm.
but they have to be reimbursed for their expenses, like, you know, the application fees, security deposits, you know, that type of thing.
Okay.
And we call it self-move. And we did give them a 90-day notice, but that's just the safeguard, because we got until November, you know, to get them out of there so the demolition can start. And but just working at least 90 days and sending it down, we can always move the date back.
Okay.
But just, they have to have a minimum of 90 days, okay. So we'll probably be more than that. So, okay.
So you already sent that notice out, or are you going to?
Yes, we already did. We did it last week.
Okay.
Because I wanted to give them enough time whereby, you know, they'll get at least a minimum of 90 days, 90 to 120 days.
Okay. So. Just before I forget, I'm not going to be here Monday for the meeting, so you'll have to report on this. If I
want to
take some notes, I'll check with Ben
later.
Yeah.
I'll be
here to
help you out.
Okay.
Okay,
go ahead.
And then also, the developer should know by tomorrow whether or not they got the Federal Home Loan Bank Award and what dollar amount. And then they'll let us know whether the loan needs to be for the LHA loan. It could be for phase one or phase two. If the Federal Home Loan Bank loan is enough, large enough, they're going to move the construction loan to phase two. But that's something we should know within next week or so. And then with Williamstown, everyone was at the groundbreaking.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Had a good old time.
Yeah, we did. It was really good. Yep.
Yeah. And so they're doing the construction. Right now they're doing the compacting studies, with the soil testing and the like. And so that's moving home pretty good. And Herb, that's where finally released the payment to the contractor, so he's happy. About $487,000 paper that they've been holding for like a month.
Yeah,
just because. You know? Yeah.
That's because.
But the good thing is that was like RHF fund, so that closed that out.
Okay.
And for probably the next 6 to 9 months, all paper credits will go through Miami because it'll be Hope 6 months.
Okay.
So that'd be good. We're going to have to go to them until sometime next year toward the end of the project.
Jacksonville.
So. And then also still looking at properties to purchase because that financier / investor I tell everybody still want to do something here in Lakeland, and they're asking for, you know, like if there could be some type of agreement or whatever, and I'm still thinking about how we can do that and all if it's necessary. Because the cleanest way would be to, like, say, do an RFP and ask, you know, hey, someone who's willing to invest X amount of dollars, and then, you know, probably don't get, you know, they'll respond and, you know, and stuff, and then we could have some type of agreement to do purchase / financing for construction, new construction,
okay,
and the like. Because they're also still very interested in providing the mortgages for the remaining units over at Hampton Hills. And also, too, when you get the board report and the secretary's report, you're going to see a paragraph in there. There's like three families, three households, that's paying either zero rent or $10 rent. Okay. And I think we all agree that if that's what you're paying, you're not in a position to get a bank mortgage. So we're letting those families know that their lease would not be renewed. And they all lease expires July 31st, so we get somebody in there who can buy the units. Because the home mortgage plan says we have to give them, like, say, 2 years. They've had about four, okay? And you don't have to pay off all your debts, all that stuff, and You know, you just have to have, like, to be able to show, like, 2 years continuous employment, those types of things. And these people have 5 years to get to that point, and they're not there yet. So we're going to move on. There's one who's trying to fight it, but he's been without a job for, you know, about 2 years.
That's the guy who came here to
the meeting. Exactly. Yeah, wanted to buy the house and flip it.
Yeah.
Because short after he moved in, he lost his job. I think he got another way for the part-time, because I think he paid $10 rent. And he said, I didn't know what I did. You had 4 years. Okay, so I think it's time to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're going to do.
Okay. What kind of notice do we have to give them?
We gave it to them.
Oh, you gave it to them already?
Yeah, okay. At least 30 days notice. Okay. Written notice, and we gave it to them.
It's July?
July 31st.
And that's going to affect three families, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How many homes do we have that are left over there?
Seven.
Six?
Seven.
Seven?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we sold five. Okay. And the thing is that with this lender bill, with us done to the plate and provide the mortgages, mm-hmm. they just got to be prepared. And you're already getting a huge discount as it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, because if you can't afford, like, say, $400 a month, you know, you don't need to be talking about you want to buy a house.
That's right.
So, and that's about it with the recovery plan.
Okay. Okey-doke. Any questions, Commissioner?
Well, excuse me. When you say that we're looking for somebody or some that would partner with this, how much money are we talking about they need to have to partner?
This is an offer of $50 million.
$50 million?
Yeah, if you got that land around, you know, you're
going to play. No. I'm just thinking about some other options. We had talked about in the past about the council. And doing something.
I don't
something.
Think y'all have been in a position to for people that because they are willing to provide $50 million, you know, cash for us to use. I don't think the council will be able to do that.
How many years are we talking?
We're talking days.
I mean, $50 million.
As soon as they sign the contract, they'll have the $50 million available for us to use.
Okay. So, just thinking. We'll talk later.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Anything you can come up with?
And should we send it out for bid? Anyone can bid. Yeah. Okay. So, right. Won't be no restrictions on that. So, I'm sorry.
They can submit a proposal. Yeah. Okay. Anything else?
No, sir. That's it.
Okay. Housing and operation.
The only thing I have is I'm working on the agency plan for next year. We posted the draft version, so as soon as I get everything together, I'll send the package to the commissioners for review and comments and suggestions. That's it.
Okay, so that puts us into the financials, my favorite person.
Well, thank you. Okay. CLCC has positive NOI for both the month and the year, but again, I still always have to preference that I still got to work out this three-way situation with Youth Bill, Public Housing Masters, and CLCC. We have the auditors right now looking at the 2016 financial statements. They're doing their off-site review so that they'll be here on Tuesday to actually come in with their questions. And then they'll actually, we'll get a list of what they are have questions about from review of our files by close of business on Friday. Mm-hmm. And then I guess that's okay, the 16th. I'm losing track of time. And then they'll be here Tuesday, the 20th, from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m., and then their last day will be Thursday the 22nd when they actually do their closeout meeting to tell us what their findings were, if any, or if there are any concerns or corrective action plan that has to be put together to be addressed. And then from that point, they'll go back off-site and they'll stop focusing on the program Section 8 and public housing, contract and procurement, and then focus on the financials strictly. And that's when we anticipate that they'll start digging into the interfund that we're trying to see if we can get approved through REAC as a prior period adjustment that's not owed because the money was used on allowable expenses. So we're getting closer to that point. When they leave next week, it'll be all financials remotely from there, and we'll go back and forth, do our management plan, and start trying to upload to REAC.
Okay. Was that a finding last year?
No, we didn't have. The only finding that we had last year is, of course, Interfund is standing because we've had it since I've been here in 2012, and that'll be a finding until it goes away. So one of the opportunities, now that they talk about refederalizing COCC, if they do what they're on track to do, this will be the one time to get the Interfund away if you can justify that the costs were allowable costs. They could have been done. The rationale that we're using is the expenses didn't have to be done as an interfund. It could have been a transfer from one AMP to another one because it was all allowable public housing costs. But the administration at the time was thinking they had deals that were going to come to fruition and that money would be reimbursed by other sources at closings. The closings never happened. But then what you had is a 17-year ED leave, interim was there for a year, then we come in new. No one ever did the write-up to say, hey, these deals didn't come to fruition. That interfund should not be an interfund. Here's a decision memorandum to document that it could have been a transfer, and we want to remove it from the interfund, and it would have been done as a prior period adjustment.
Okay.
So this is our last opportunity to do that. Otherwise, when they refederalize COCC, whatever's owed still owed, you still got to pay it back. So that, but the auditor can't really look at the financials until they finish the audit of the programs,
right,
which will conclude at the end of next week on Thursday, and then they'll focus on the financials and actually getting supporting documentation to support our justification that should be written off as sunk costs because it could have been done as a transfer. And also during that time, everything will get flushed out with youth bill, COCC, and public housing because youth bill is inside of our financial statement. It's a part of our crosswalk. So by the time we finalize the 2016 financials, I will know exactly what money has to be transferred to youth bill and from where, and it'll be a done deal. So I just, because the reason why, of course, I always like to preference that is because you're going to see youth bill with a negative NOI, but that's because I hadn't done any transfers. I'm waiting on the outcome of the audit.
Okay.
But when you look at just a cursory review of the balance sheet, we should have, in cash statements, we should have $69,000 in total cash. And actually, their checks are hand clear because we have $69,000 in payroll. And then the cash report is showing $71,000, so they're consistent. And then Section 8, when you look at the administration and HAP, both of them have negative NOI for the period and for year-to-date. There are two things that we're doing to try to get ahead of that. The Section 8 group actually made a submittal to HUD headquarters for additional admin fees. They also submitted to our HUD field office in Jacksonville a request to get shortfall funding. So we know that both HUD offices have the request because they have acknowledged that they've seen the request. It's under review. But until then, we'll continue to operate off of our HUD held reserves that they released to us, as well as the operating reserves that you see in the Section 8 account. If you go to the balance sheet, we actually have $233,000 in unrestricted cash, and Yeah, I'm sorry. With 319 total, of which 233.9 is unrestricted, and you see the 319 is consistent with the cash report. Public housing. Public housing has a positive NOI for both the period and year to date. Oh, I'm sorry, for the year to date, it was slightly negative for the period. HUD didn't give us as much subsidy in May as they did in June. It's kind of been going up and down because we're working under that continuing resolution. And so the amount that we were given for May was half of what we got for June. So they're still trying to figure out how much we actually should get, but it's still been a little more than what we anticipated when you're talking about AMPS 1 through 4. And so that's been helping public housing maintain a positive NOI. And then their cash, total cash, is $2.8 million. And for some reason it seems like I missed the cash report. I have to go back and make sure. Maybe that page didn't merge or it got out of place. You know, it didn't merge. So I had to remerge that in the board package. Is yours missing? Let's see, Well, just let me know. Dakota Park has a positive NOI for the period, but they have a negative NOI for year to date of $5,856. It's missing. Okay, that just means I forgot the PDF. But I didn't grab all the sheets when I PDF'd it. Dakota Park, this is one particular property that HUD has given us more subsidy. Mm-hmm. They're trying to make it up, and what they gave us in June was a whole lot more than what they gave us in May. But despite that, and despite them being at collections of rent at 5% higher than what we budgeted, it's still having issues cash flowing. So hopefully HUD will take that into consideration when we get the next set of money. Right now, when you go in the ELOC, we had drawn down all the money that's available, so there's nothing populated. I probably won't know until the last 3 days of this month what they're actually going to give us for the next 3 months, because until they get that continuing resolution resolved. And then when you look at the balance sheet, we have $41,000 in total cash, and that's consistent with what we actually have on the cash flow statement. And then also, even though the changes in cash has been negative for the period for Dakota, it's been positive for year to date, and that's because HUD has increased the subsidy. So, and the site is collecting their rents and enforcing late fees. The Renaissance, as always, it has a positive NOI for the period and year to date. There's nothing really extraordinary that's standing out with Renaissance, and they also got additional subsidy than what we had anticipated in June from HUD, as well as in May. We got more in June than we did in May. And then the total cash should be $1.2 million, which is consistent with the balance sheet. Colton Meadow, positive NOI for the period and year to date. Rent collection is what we anticipated. The only expenses that stands out are utilities, which trash removal and water sewers are higher than budgeted. But other than that, it's cash flowing, and the budget is being followed as we had anticipated. Then their balance sheet shows $672,000 in total cash, which is consistent with the cash statement. And their changes in cash for the year as well as the period is positive. Bonnet Shores, they have a positive NOI for the period and year to date. They have the same issues as Colton. Utility expenses have been a little higher than anticipated, and the differences that you see in maintenance expenses have been a result of them coming off of an audit. But if you notice, now that the audit's complete, they may be over budget on maintenance expenses for the period, for year to date, but for the period they're way under budget. So now that they done all the preparation for audits, the two audits that they had are over, then they won't have as much expenditures, and you'll see that number for maintenance start going down and being back in line with the budget. And also when you look at their balance sheet, the cash says total cash should be $796,000. That's consistent with what's on the cash report. And again, whether you're looking at the period of year to date, their changes in cash is positive. West Bartow has positive NOI for the period and year to date. Again, their rent collection is consistent with what we budgeted. Of course, when we added a person to the maintenance staff, that impacted maintenance costs, but the property has been able to support having an additional person on site. And then when you look at the balance sheet, you see total cash at $511,000, which is consistent with the cash report. But the difference is there, you can see that we had activity during the period that caused changes in cash to be negative, but overall for the year they still have a positive change in cash. Hampton Hills also benefited from having some subsidy when we anticipated no subsidy, right?
That's right.
So before depreciation, they have positive NOI for the period and year to date.
Wow.
Despite the fact that when you look at rent collections, we're 15% below what we should be because of those three almost zero rent payers that are trying to be homeowners. There's a conference call today at 3 o'clock with the actual, I guess in 1 minute, huh? With the actual counselor that's been doing the home buyer training. They're actually going to give us a report, Vanessa and I, that will support us putting those three families on notice, telling them that they have to move. He's going to give us actual documentation for the file that is no way possible they'll be able to buy the house by the end of the year. But I know we have to do that as a formality, is our reporting. And then, of course, from that point, once they have moved, then we'll be able to go to the next set of families that's on the waiting list who qualify to be in the home, and we'll be looking at their financial position to see how quickly they can buy a house. They shouldn't. We will skip them on the list if we look and see that they don't have a probability of being able to get the house within the 2-year time frame. And then when I look at the balance sheet compared to the cash statement, we have $238,000 in cash, which is consistent with the cash statement. Nothing that really jumps out on Hampton Hills. But of course, youth bill, negative NOI for the period and year to date. We haven't, like I said, done the transfers of the grants from COCC's account to youth bill. When you look at the actual cash report and you see the negatives, what happens there is with the shortfall, COCC has been paying the differences in the bills until I can get it resolved. So any interfunds that's between COCC and youth bill will be resolved when we flush out who's actually having to make the transfer. A grant report. When you get your board packages, you will see those two grants of RHF. One was $282,000, the other one was $149,000. It had to be expended by July of this year. It has been fully expended with the first draw that we did at Williamstown. Also, you'll see that we started making draws on both of our Ross grants, the Ross Service Coordinator, as well as the Ross FSF. And then we continue to do vouchers on youth bill. But other than that, I have nothing exciting to report other than the 10-year anniversary for youth bill. Just a reminder from last meeting, we'll actually have someone from the youth bill national office. They're coming down next month. It happens to be the same date as our board meeting, but that was the only date he had available. Janine had gone back and forth trying to get dates from him. So, of course, we would love it if everybody could attend, but I know that would mean we would have to try to meet earlier, like 4 o'clock on board day.
What's the date?
The July date.
Take it July 19th. But it's up to the board as to whether or not.
It would be good for you to be there. Yeah.
Well,
on the 19th, like Monday.
Well, that's July 17th.
Because it's scheduled at the same date and time as
July
the board meeting.
17th.
At
July.
6 p.m. And my brother told staff that it would be up to the board as to whether or not you all want to move the board.
Well, then for July 17th, mm-hmm. we've got the option to move the board meeting up.
Yeah.
And do both.
I'll do it on another day.
I'll do it on another day.
Yeah, that would be you all's decision.
We can make a note to bring that up with the board. See if they want to go up or down, 10th or the 24th. Which way is better for you to get the financials done?
Well, you know, for us, it's always, I'm always in audit, always got something going. So I'm beginning to learn, if it's after the, I mean, it's not possible because we do financials just 30 days behind. I have to at least make it to after the fifth day of the month because I can't close the books until the fifth.
Right, right.
But once the books are closed,
and
then...
And holiday next month as well.
Oh, 4th of July?
Yeah, the
4th of
July.
Yeah.
So some people like to have that day off.
Yeah.
No. I know that, but I'm just saying the books are going to close. You always have to have to the 5th to let the bank statements clear.
So basically, you know,
and payroll.
10th, 17th, or 20th, if you did on the 17th, to be in a board meeting, you know, you have to move the board meeting up, you know, like 4 o'clock or something, but... and then I think the chairman won't be able to make that, so that's probably not an option, moving it up on that same day. And so you all have to pick another day for the board meeting. That's if you want to go to the youth building.
Well, I think it would be good if some of the board members could be there just to show support, you know, what's going on.
Because my vote would be for the 24th,
yeah,
for the board meeting.
Yeah,
well, I'll be here.
Oh, you won't be here.
On the 17th, I won't be here. So, the 24th, I will be here.
We'll let you make that recommendation.
Yeah.
Then,
mm-hmm. Well, that would be great because, you know, that gives finance more time to...
Well, when you report out on Monday, once you say we recommend
that we move
the board meeting to the 24th.
Okay. That's the plan.
And see if everybody's in agreement on that.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And that way, those people that can be there on the 17th to go to youth building, then we should encourage as many of the board members to be there.
We'll just have to publicly notice that meeting on the
17th.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? That's why I didn't save the date. I didn't send it out because I have a flyer, but I knew we needed to talk to the board about it. But
any resolutions for this meeting?
No resolution.
Nothing coming up. give us an update on the vehicle?
Yeah, I had that done from the field. I forgot the other way. Basically, you know, we did that evaluation. The board authorized people, they said, come back to say how we would do it. And basically what we do is sell my vehicle, current vehicle, to the property. Okay. if Blue Book has somewhere between $9,000 and $11,000, and there you have a down payment toward the purchase of a new vehicle, and then the properties would make monthly payments on the balance, you know, for the loan, which is be around $450, $500. And that way the property can get some use out of the vehicle, the existing vehicle, while there's still some useful life and left. So
makes sense.
Yeah. So,
okay. So you just put that in the minutes that it was reported.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I have two other things. So,
okay, go ahead.
Want to bring on a second HUD consultant to help with development activities. It's Ed Jennings, the former regional director for HUD, who's over the Southeast region of HUD. And he would be doing something different from what Karen Cato Turner is currently doing for us, because Karen Cato Turner has been extremely useful and helpful with them in Jacksonville as well at the psych office. What Ed will be doing is to help us identify other funds. He will work on the political aspect of working with the city, the county, as well as the state to give us some additional funds to help with development. He has relationships with Congressman Dennis Rawls, most of the candidates for governor, as well as the city officials here and the county officials. And so that would help us with, like, say, getting maybe CDBG, impact fee waivers, those types of things. And that's something that we definitely need help with. And we'll probably do his contract just like we did with Karen Cato Turner, running through Sykes and Gilmore. So we'll see.
When do you plan to do that? When you
want
to bring them up?
Probably sometime in the next 30 days. Cause what we'll do like a little 6-month contract to give him a chance to prove himself that he can actually bring in funds and stuff. And if he does that, then, you know, we can then look at extending his contract.
Right. And what's the cost? Do
you know? It'll be less than $30,000.
Less than 30.
Yeah.
And it'll be for how long?
We'll start, like I said, about 6-month period. And just to see if he can actually bring in funds.
Okay.
And if he can, you know, because if he can get us, like, you know, $500,000 worth of funding, you know, our waivers and the like, then it's a worthwhile investment.
Okay, so the 30K will be for 6 months.
Yes.
And if we extend it,
that's a maximum.
Yeah. And if we then if we we want to extend it, we'll deal with it then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We don't want to start money.
Because if he does what he says he can do, there'll be other funding sources. Because that'll help when we're doing these other development projects, and like that we work with that partner. If all that comes to fruition, you know, we'll have a funding source to fund a new contract.
Okay. So the phraseology in the minutes should be not to exceed $30,000.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That'll take away a lot of the questions.
Yeah.
Okay. And does that require board approval or just notifying the board? Mm-hmm. It's just FYI.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you should put that in your report, not the recovery. Mm-hmm. Boom, mentioned in the minutes, but mm-hmm. formally you should just put it in yours.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to muddy up the water
okay.
with the Okay. Recovery. But it's good that you notified us. Mm-hmm. That's good. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What else?
Oh, one last thing. Happy Father's Day.
Oh. Same to you.
And enjoying your time with your family.
You as well.
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
So I reached out to Dennis Ross right after I heard about the shooting yesterday, and he sent me a text message that he was all right, everything. So
he played on the softball team?
He was not at practice.
He played on the softball team?
He will be on tonight when they play.
Really? Wow. I wouldn't guess that one.
Yeah. Well, hey.
Did he
play
cleanup?
I don't know. But he was not at the practice, and so he was all right. And
that's a
blessing. So he didn't get a shot.
Yeah, no, he didn't
that's
get shot or didn't have any effects.
That's good.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else from your staff? Anything else? Cover everything? All minds are clear?
I don't know about that one.
Okay, there being no further business, the meeting will be, call it 3:12. Meeting adjourned.
Thank you all.
So, I'd like
thank
to
you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Come back.
Let me go see
he's
what
be
his
reaching out for
said.
Us.